Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. What is up? And I'm recording you too, so yay!
Is it working?
Yeah, it's working. It's working.
Oh man, we could waste all this time bringing my computer. My computer is installing new Skype, all kind of shit.
Whoops. Well, thanks for making the effort. I appreciate you.
But you hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you fine. You're a little distant. You're a little distant emotionally. I can hear that in your voice.
It's because I hate your fucking guts.
I was waiting for that. What's up, James? How's your summer, buddy?
I can't complain, man. I probably need to slow down a little bit, man. I've been out and about a little too much.
Yeah. I thought you were like...
It's just weird right now.
I thought you were like hardcore lifting weights and stuff now.
Oh, I do. That's part of my work day, though. Right after work, I just go lift, you know. Then I'm out and about, man. Not too crazy, but, you know.
All right. Good. My wife, here's what happens to me. You know, like, I have the opposite problem of most people. When they stop exercising, they gain weight. They, like, you know, balloon up, whatever. That's a terrible thing to say, but you know, put on excess pounds. I have the opposite problem. When I stop exercising, I get really skinny. And I'm getting really skinny again. My wife keeps telling me. She's like, you should start exercising. Maybe put on some weights or something, you know, like do some pull-ups or something.
Here's the thing. Like, the fact that she's telling you that means she's been thinking it probably for, like, 2 months.
Yeah, probably. Which means I'm really real thin right now. So maybe I should lift some weights. Get myself in shape.
I mean, do something, man. Do some pull-ups. Pull up to the table.
I have a pull-up bar. I have a pull-up bar in my studio. I just haven't used it in a while. I'll get back into it. I'll do it.
Can you do pull-ups?
Do I do pull-ups? Yeah.
Well, I guess when you're 100 pounds, it's pretty easy.
that's true. Actually, it's not even that easy when you're 100 pounds. You know, you lose all your body mass. You lose all your muscle. Yeah, like it's even 100 pounds gets heavy.
I'm 240 now, and I could probably rip out a good 10.
Yeah, I'm 155, man. I could probably rip out a good 6. 10 is impressive, man.
Yeah, I mean that's probably 10, maybe 12. I mean, I could do a set of 12, but I'm down from, like, I was 275, bro.
Yeah. Well, you're also what, 6'3", 6'2"?
Yeah, that's, dude, come on. 6'3" and the same size as LeBron, that's a lot.
Yeah, you might have had a little bit of extra baggage you were carrying around with you.
Yeah, man, I had a couple sausages on the back of my neck, baby.
That's gross. That is gross. Well, I'm sorry to hear it, buddy, but I'm glad you're in better shape now. I'm glad you're feeling physically fit and enjoying your summer too much, I suppose, as you put it.
I mean, I'm pretty annoying now. I'm wearing, like, wearing tight shirts and, you know, showing off the biceps and shit.
Nice. I wear tight shirts too, but I'm not showing anything off. I just like my shirts tight. But, you know, I also live in New York with a bunch of other really real thin people, so I don't feel so bad. It's whatever.
Is that a New York thing?
Yeah, I mean, all the dudes here they're too skinny, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. Maybe I'm just making shit up. Anyway, James.
I'm pretty sure you are.
Yeah, I'm probably. That's what I do. I just make shit up. I just make shit up all the time. You know, I'm a creative type person. I just like to make shit up. Do you want to talk some NBA or do you want to talk about anything else?
No, I've had enough of your shenanigans. So it's dope that you're creative. Also, we're going to do Dope or Nope, where we're going to just talk about things around the NBA. Because we got nothing going on, man. It's the dog days of the season. I mean, you know, the KD drama already happened. KD and CJ McCollum. And we got nothing going right now. It's all, Jason Whitlock today was ripping on LeBron because his show on HBO has profanity. You know, and whatever, man. We're not going to give.
Wait a minute.
We're not, no,
LeBron has a show on HBO?
I think it's HBO, Showtime, one of those.
What the hell is it?
The Shop.
What? Okay, so what is it? Oh, is this the thing where they're sitting around the barber shop? And is that from that?
I mean, it was like something else. I want to say it was this on maybe a YouTube channel, but now it got picked up by HBO.
Okay.
So.
Man,
you are really out of the loop, bro.
I go to Italy for 2 weeks, and I'm like, I fell hard off the basketball plane. I'm like totally disconnected. I don't even know anything that's going on right now. I know Manu Ginobili is retiring. How do you feel about that?
So let's talk about Manu. I think he, after 16 seasons, was at 4 rings.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got a six-man award.
Two All-Star nods.
Couple All NBA joints.
I don't think he ever got an All NBA. I think people.
He absolutely did. He did. No, he did. Yeah, he got a couple. No, if not first team, I think a couple second team All NBAs.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he did. I'll look it up while we're talking. But
okay.
He got Olympic gold. He has FIBA gold, I believe. Yeah. He got, you know, we won a Euro championship in Italy. Where was he at?
I think yeah, Italy. He was in Italy. He's Argentinian, but he played in Italy.
Yeah, he won like, you know, that league. He won MVP. He's done about everything you can do except for a start in the NBA, because he came off the bench for most of his career. You know, I'm pretty sure it was a handful of games he started, but for the most part he came off the bench, and it was by design, right? Not because he sucked. It wasn't because he was a big player. They wanted to have a potent hitter off the bench. While other teams go to their second units, which, you know, decent, they got a starter quality guy on the bench, and it made all the difference in the world for them. So my thoughts on it, honestly.
Yeah.
I was ready for him to retire.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys like Dirk. It makes me sad to see Dirk doddering around out there now. And I know that Mavs fans love it, and diehard NBA fans love to see Dirk, just because, you know, he harkens back to a bygone era, and he used to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But watching greats be not great as they age, and as they, you know, they the game kind of just is past them, and now they're just something else, that makes me sad. I don't like to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds you that, like, it's coming for all of us, right? We may not be professional athletes, but, like, our prime is behind us. So, yeah, in that respect, it's kind of sad to see. It's holding a mirror up to your own life in some ways.
Not to me. To me, it reminds me of that one dude who was dope in high school, but now we're 30, and he's still wearing his high school Letterman jacket and talking about what he used to do. Oh, it's just—it's just time. There's other better players who need those minutes. And, like, the NBA— it's not really a young man's game, but, I mean, when it gets to that point.
It's a young man's game. What are you talking about? Like, the oldest guys in the NBA are like, you know, like, man, what is he, 40? He can't play anymore.
How old is LeBron?
34. He's going to be 35. What is he? I mean, he's an old man. Yeah, but
he's the best player in the league.
But he's getting up there. But, you know, LeBron's also an anomaly. It's hard to – I mean, it's not – the thing is, like, if you're saying that 35 is old or – it's still a young man's game, right? Yeah, I know he's the best player in the league, but even 35 to me is young.
I think you're thinking too much about it.
I think too much about everything.
I think because the best player in the NBA is 34, almost 35. You got, and you know, hey, the best KD is, you know, KD is like 29.
Yeah.
So when I say young man game, we're talking relative for the NBA.
Relative to what they are. Yeah. But
right. So
I get it.
It is, but then it's not because, like, but my point is, when it gets to a point, like, it makes me sad. Like, it's fun watching Dirk for a second when he hits shots, but then when he's getting roasted in ISOs, it's sad. And Manu for the last, I think last year was one of his, almost statistically across the board, it was one of his worst seasons since his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting wise, it was one of the first years where he had like a negative box score plus minus, which, you know, people think I'm anti advanced stats. I'm not. I'm just anti only advanced stats. So I understand that that means, like, for the first time, he had a negative impact on the team. He wasn't like a positive off the bench. He was just kind of, you know, whatever. So
he still dunked it last year, to all of our surprise.
Yeah, it's you know, the team. He's the last man standing from the big three.
Yeah.
It'd been weird to see him come back this year and, you know, backing up. What's the guy's name? DeJounte Murray and the kid from Florida they just drafted. You know, so it's just time, man. It's time for him to move on. We appreciate what he did. He's the end of it. It's an end of an era in San Antonio.
Yeah, totally, for sure. And that's kind of sad to see. Like, you know, you kind of want to. Is it though? I struggle with this. Like, we always get upset. We always get sad. We get bummed out when an era ends. And I get it. Like, you know, especially if that's your favorite team, you don't want to see the good times end. You never want to see that end. But at the same time, you need to make room for more things. You don't want the Warriors to keep winning year after year after year after year. You don't want the Lakers to be the Lakers of 2001 forever. You know what I mean? Like, you want to give somebody else a chance. So I get that, like, you know, for me, not being able to watch Manu, it's fine. His game tailored off so much over the last couple of years. Like, he hasn't been the same player. You're right. So it's not like we're really watching prime Manu anyways. We would get some glimpses of him at times in games, but it wasn't the same guy. So, like, I agree with you. Let it go. Let's move on. Make room for somebody else. It's sad to see an era end, but it's also like, all right, cool. This was something that we can celebrate in hindsight now, right? We can prop it up against the best of all time and say, you know, how did they rate? How did they rank? And, like, and I think, you know, as we separate, as these things separate in time, in our minds, they get greater. I mean, it's like, you know, somebody asked, well, maybe we should just let's intertwine some Twitter questions with this. Andres.
No, but listen,
this one is really pertinent to this conversation. Andres Alvarez asks, it's at Nerd Numbers. Is Manu a first ballot Hall of Fame player?
Oh, no. Hey, make sure you read out his whole question.
Well, I'm going to read that part first because that's what we're talking about.
I think hands down for the simple fact that it's not just all right. First of all, even with the NBA conference, he probably would be four championships, a couple All-Star games, a couple All-NBAs, one of the best six men of all time. But then you add in his you know, we talk about the Euro accolades and the Olympic stuff, and he's a lock. He's first ballot.
Okay, but let me ask you this: is Andre Iguodala a first ballot Hall of Famer?
What is he? Three rings now. Couple All-Star nods. I know he had one gold. At least.
He had one All-Star nod. He had Olympic gold.
It's a little tougher. I mean, he probably is, but maybe not first ballot. And again, he doesn't have all of the Euro accolades,
which matters. He doesn't have the Euro accolades. That's a good point. So if that's where you're drawing the line, if that's where you're making the distinction, that's fine. I mean, I get it. It's just like you see where the issue comes in. Like, what's really the qualifier? What really gets you in the door? I'm with you. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's, you know, he's one of those guys. He was beloved. I think part of that gets you in just on your reputation. You know what I mean? Like, he seemed to be really, like, he was embraced by that city. He was embraced really all around the NBA. People love him. He was fun to watch. He was really, really exciting on the court. He was a damn good player. And, you know, I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But it's touchy. Like, there's no set specific criteria for what makes a first ballot Hall of Famer. So it's – I would put him in.
Now, here's my question to you, because I saw this floating around Twitter today. And to me, it's a ridiculous question. Some people were trying to say that he was better than Dirk Nowitzki.
No.
Discuss.
No.
This is what gets me about the offseason. The offseason, right? I think people get so bored they talk themselves into anything. Because it's like, hey, Manu was great.
Manu was great.
Dirk was on another level.
A whole other level.
When you are the backbone of a franchise's offense for over a decade and, you know, you win a championship that way, even though most teams couldn't, you know, hey, it takes a little luck, right, to win a championship. So everything went their way that year. It doesn't matter. It went their way, and they won it because Dirk was incredible. And
was
he killed
that 2013
everybody.
Or 2014? Which year was that?
11. 2011.
That was that far? Oh, my God. Yeah.
Exactly.
He was incredible. He was absolutely incredible in that series. I've never seen a player play like that.
The whole playoffs, man. He destroyed Serge. He destroyed Pau Gasol.
And the thing about it is, like, how many years did Manu carry that Spurs team? He never did. He always had Tim Duncan. Yeah. He always had Tony Parker. He always had a bunch of guys around him. That was Dirk's team the entire time he was there. You're right. It's sad to see him go out like this. But, man, no, that's not a question. Stop it.
No disrespect to Manu, anybody. Our listeners, no disrespect to Manu. Because he was great. It's just that question right there. It's almost, you know, it's disrespectful even to make that comparison because they had two totally different roles, two totally different games. But one thing. So what's your? Can you give me one iconic Manu moment that sticks out for you?
I honestly can't. I remember 2011. He was just absolutely dynamic in that finals and like. But I dude.
No, I said Manu.
Sorry, Manu. So that was 2014, right?
For them, it was 2014. Yeah.
Right. I'm really tired. Sorry. Again, I don't have a specific Manu moment. I really don't. I can't think of one, but I'm really.
I got one for you.
Go ahead.
I got one. 2014 finals. I think they were already up 3-1, but they were down 16 in game five at home in the first quarter. So the Heat came out rolling against LeBron and them. Came out rolling. And, they chipped away. Manu had like 16 points in the first half or whatever. He was balling. And they were closing the gap. Chris Bosh missed a corner three. I think the Spurs only down like two or three at the point. It was late in the second quarter. They closed it from 16. They're down like two or whatever. Manu takes he leaks out. Tim Duncan gets the rebound, kicks out to him on the break. He dribbles up. He thinks he's gonna slow it down and run offense, and all of a sudden he does a crossover, burst through the defense. There's four defenders around the rim. He rises up, and he just dunks in Chris Bosh's mug.
I remember that. That's amazing.
And then on the other next play down, LeBron James comes down. The only reason I know all this so clearly is I was doing some research about this. He comes down, LeBron James hits a jumper, in the lane, and that breaks like a 16-0 or 16-2 Spurs run. So now they know. So Manu comes down, very next play, like he just comes right back down and hits a step back three, and Udonis has him in face, and the Alamo goes nuts. And the Spurs are now up like two, and Miami calls a timeout, and it was all over but the screaming from there from the Heat. That three was a backbreaker. Like 2 minutes left in the second quarter, and you kind of felt that the Spurs took control of that game, and that the series is already in their back pocket. So that was impressive, man. He made the Eurostep popular. So many players owe him and pay homage to that. So I think we covered that. You have anything else you want to say about Manu?
No, but I was about to be really astonished by your memory if you had not looked that up previous to this. I was like, man, how do you remember that stuff? That's crazy.
I should have lied instead. I was like,
I gotta stop this podcast. I can't do this anymore. I can't remember the shit.
No, we just did something for this on B-Ball Breakdown. I sent it. I did some research. So.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Speaking of ridiculous questions and comparing Manu to Dirk Nowitzki. The other part of Andre's question was, this is off-season internet debate, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, this is a debate as old as NBA Twitter itself, about 10 years old maybe.
But we've never weighed in. What say you?
I say yes, it's obviously a sandwich.
Okay, give me your reason.
All right, so a hoagie, right?
Yeah.
Say you got a Philly cheese. Mm-hmm. Philly cheese, you take the little bun, you lay it open just like a hot dog. You put your little fried meat in there, mm-hmm. boom. Put your onions on it, whatever else. You got a Philly cheese. Yes. Is the Philly cheese a sandwich?
Yes.
So how's a hot dog any different? Just because the meat's not chopped up, but still, it's in a bun. Put your little toppings on it. It's a sandwich. It's a sandwich.
It's just a tube sandwich.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it took me a long time. I don't know why I had it in my head for the longest time that a hot dog was not a sandwich. It was just a hot dog. I think because you can take the hot dog out of the bun and just eat it as a stick. Right.
So, hey, like, for some you can reason, take, you can reach you can your take, hand inside of a hoagie and exactly. grab a handful of meat and just shove it in your mouth.
But I had to come around on this. I actually now think that a hot dog is a sandwich. I had this debate with my wife a couple years ago, and she's like, "Stop being stupid.
Really?
It's a sandwich." Yeah, yeah. We did it at home. We're like, "Is it a sandwich or what is it?" It's a sandwich. It's a piece of meat in between two pieces of bread. Even though if it's one, it's just one piece of bread, but it's still. It's enveloped. It's sandwiched by bread. It's a sandwich.
So, listeners out there, if you love numbers and you love people who are kind of number trolls, sometimes nerd numbers. I love you, bro. At nerd numbers, go follow them. So I can see sometimes you set it up and try to knock it out of the park by dropping names like Kobe and put numbers and it's hey. I love what you do, man. So follow Andres Alvarez at nerd numbers out there. He's fun.
By the way, I hope we're saying his name right because I butchered it terribly. I'm sorry, Andres. Andres.
If we're not,
Andres. Whatever. Alvarez. Mr. Alvarez. I'm sorry.
So that's. I think we're enough, Manu. Let's keep on with the what we're doing. Dope or nope?
Sure.
Oh. So yeah, and this is just about the news. This is the weirdest thing. Mm-hmm. So the WNBA, there's been a resurgence. I think the NBA is doing a better job of promoting WNBA. And a lot of fans are taking notice. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if you've seen it. You've been gone. But a lot of the guys we follow, writers, bloggers, even TV personalities, they're all watching the WNBA finals and playoffs. And they seem like they're really enjoying it. I haven't been watching. I just haven't had a lot of time. And, I mean, I just haven't. But the product's good from, all accounts. Everyone's enjoying it. There's superstars, Sue Bird. Diana Taurasi. There's ballers and everyone's enjoying it. The NBA has commercials and they have like little specials and videos where you see NBA players talking about how they watch WNBA players and they'll take from their game and they learn and if you're a hooper and you love ball, you're gonna love ball no matter if the people are dunking or not. And these women can play.
By the way, we should also say that if you're qualifying good basketball by dunks, you're an idiot. So go on.
Yeah, just because they can't, they're not 6'11" and dunking over people doesn't mean it's not good basketball. Yeah. So the point is, the WNBA is doing a better job of marketing itself, and there's a push. And I mean, you respect that because you want these athletes to get paid. And the big thing is the pay disparity. I think the highest paid WNBA players are making like 175, 150 thousand. Wow. Which, you know,
for a contract or a year?
That's a year.
That's not great. I mean, it's better than per contract, but it's not great.
Absolutely. And then, like, I think the most we're making $50,000 to $75,000. So, yeah, the season's shorter and there's less games, but still, it's just not, you're a professional basketball player in America. You should be making money in that. All right. So that's the big push. And there have been some conversations around that. And for some reason, there's a large vocal community on Twitter, on Facebook, that is just, I feel like they think that if WNBA players get paid more, somehow their paycheck will be less. So they're fighting against that. I see a lot of misogyny.
You mean to tell me that men are threatened by women making money? Is that what you're saying? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm saying that I see a lot of kitchen jokes and,
shit.
So full disclosure, I'm going to say that a few years ago when WNBA was a lot younger, I never, I'm an NBA head. That's the only sport I really watch. Right. That's it. No football, no basketball, no baseball, no college, nothing. That's been my sport. So I'm not watching the WNBA because it's the WNBA. I just don't really watch anything but the NBA. Maybe I'll give it a try next year. But I've said things before, made jokes that, you know, it wasn't right at the time.
Right.
And I watch these women play now, and this is their livelihood. You know, older, a little wiser. I want to see them succeed, and I want to see them get paid a fair wage. But there's a large, there's a vocal minority, I hope, that seems to be against that. And now the new thing is some of these social media sites on Twitter, they make up fake quotes and attribute them to WNBA players like Brittany Griner, and the quotes are disparaging NBA players, but they're fake.
Right.
So that's dumb enough. The real problem is that we have legitimate websites and news sites picking these quotes up and either making a headline and not making it known that they're fake, or running them like they're real anyway. I'm not going to name the site that did that, but it's disgusting. And so
it's just really lazy journalism. Not to slam anybody, but it's really indicative of the society we live in, where everything is immediate gratification. Everything is instant gratification, and people want to get news in the quickest way possible. So we read headlines and we move on. I'm guilty of this too. We rarely have enough time to do a deep dive, but some of us are just willfully ignorant and don't really want to know. We seek out the things that will, what's the expression? I can't believe I'm dropping this. Sorry. You're confirming your suspicions by reading the things that you think confirm your suspicions.
Confirmation
bias. Thank you. Oh my God. Yes. So, and like, you know, we all suffer from, I guess, a little bit of confirmation bias in some ways, but this is what we do. This is the perfect example of like the stupid era we live in where it's all fake news. And I think the problem is, like, if you're a professional journalist, or if you're a media company and you want to put out things that matter or are important and you want to get out the real thing, you got to do the homework and you got to check these facts before you have got to research that shit before you put it on your website. Unless you are just Barstool Sports or what's the other one? Some other shitty site.
It does. Know what? No matter what the sites are, don't name them. We don't want to give them any free promo.
Yeah. But so, and you put up shit that you think, you know, like you're just yanking people's chains, which is just ignorant. I totally agree with you. It's stupid. It's lazy, and it's just not helping anything. And I don't want to take myself too seriously, and I don't think people really should take themselves too seriously. But for something like this, when you're attributing words to a person, that can be really, really damaging. People.
Hey, you know what? I don't think it'll happen. I think they're probably above this, but I would hope maybe one of the WNBA players makes an example of one of those sites, one of those accounts, and gets them for libel. Because right. I mean, it's not just something. It's not just a joke going around Twitter. Like, this is, people are publishing this, right? It's pretty messed up.
And here's the thing about the WNBA. Let me your first few things about this. I don't watch the WNBA. I've seen a bunch of shots. I've when I have a minute and I've tuned in, it's good basketball. It's enjoyable. It's fun to watch. I don't get to watch it very often. The real problem for me is that it doesn't run concurrent with the NBA. It runs in the summertime. By the time the summer gets here, I am so sick of talking about and watching basketball. I just need a break. I don't want to tune into the WNBA as well.
Yeah. what are we doing right now?
I know. This is what I'm talking about. But we took, you know, I had to escape the country for 2 weeks so I could stop thinking about basketball. But if it ran concurrent with the NBA, I think I would be a lot more interested in watching what's going on. I think they're great players. They're great athletes. I think they deserve a lot more respect. And the thing about the pay disparity, I didn't realize this. In the NBA, they have the bargaining agreement where the players basically get 50% of the revenue and the owners get the rest, right? So it's 50-50 split. I guess in the WNBA, the split, even though, so it's a much smaller league, it's a lot less public. It's not in the public eye as much. It's not nearly as popular, so they don't bring in the revenue that the NBA does. But all that aside, the players only get about 20% of that revenue, while the owners get 80%. So yeah, to say they're underpaid is an understatement. It's absolutely freaking true. And for somebody to come out, I get, like, I know kids, they're, you know, kids love to start shit on Twitter. They just troll people for the shit of it. But when you're doing things like that, and like we've both, you know, you and I have both done things and said things when we were younger that I wish I could go back and kick my own ass for. It happens. You're young. You do shit. Some people just start shit to see people just fail. I don't know. Some people are just miserable. But when you do shit like that, like you're really taking down a person for no fucking reason. And if people buy into that and stupid media companies put that out there, it can be really damaging. And it's just a shame. We shouldn't talk too much about this. It's like, I'm starting.
Yeah, that's enough. I think, like I said, it's dope or nope. And that's just a big nope, man. It sucks. Yeah, totally. People kind of suck sometimes. And I want the WNBA to flourish. I hope that people tune in and watch. I hope that next season, or you know, next CBA, collective bargaining agreement, they come up with a better split and they get those players played a little bit. Because the players aren't asking for the same pay as NBA players. They just want to be paid a better wage.
Right.
That's all.
They want to pay. So, they want to be paid accordingly. Right. I mean, you know. Exactly. Yeah. Do you want another Twitter question, or do you have another topic?
I thought we had another one. Do you have another topic?
Forget.
Oh, yeah. Kawhi, real quick, we'll just say it's dope that Kyrie Irving, it's, you know, his mother was adopted. She was a Native American. She was adopted away from the tribe, and then she passed away when he was four.
Yeah.
The Sioux tribe. She passed away when he was four, but he traced his lineage, and he's Native American. His mom was Native American. And recently, the elders of the tribe, they found the lineage was to be true, and they brought him and his sister in, and they had a ceremony, and they were both given Native names, and he is now Little Mountain. Well, not now. Now it's one of his names, Little Mountain. And his sister was I can't remember her name. Yeah.
It's okay.
But I just think that's really cool, man. It's just really cool to see him get in touch like that with his Native American roots, and to have, you know, it's a really cool thing.
Well, a couple of things about this from reading about it for like 2 seconds. He donated $100,000 to the tribe last year, which is great of him. Big props to Kyrie. So then they brought him in and they did the ceremony, and it wasn't because of that. It was just because the, you know, like you said, they found it to be true that he's Lakota, or he's Sioux and part of the Lakota Nation. They did a ceremony that was not open to the public. It was not, there was no media allowed, and it wasn't a short ceremony. It was a 4-hour long thing where they were doing a real Native American tribal, ceremony. So it was like legit. It was the real thing. And he really embraced it. They embraced him. And I think it's awesome. I think it puts a much needed spotlight on our Native American people, in a good way. And, you know, maybe brings them to the conscious mind of the American public. And, you know, we still have our neighbors and friends that are, you know, Native Americans to this land. So let's embrace them. And he did, and they embraced him, and it's great. It's a good feel-good story.
Yeah, man, that's all. I think it's cool. And, you know, it'll be dope when the Celtics win the championship this year. You know, hopefully we have natives in hair, you know, in full ceremonial garb on the floor. That'd be dope.
Oklahoma City always does that too. They have that halftime show where there's a Native American tribe and they come out and they do the drums and they do the dancing and all that stuff. So good for them. Anyway, it's nice to see at least some incorporation of, like, you know, peoples that were from this land before we fucking raped and pillaged it. You know, be part of what we're doing now. So
yeah, don't get me started on that. So yeah, that's our dope or nope for the day. That's dope. The whole people messing with the WNBA players and sites running with it, that's a big nope. And then Man U retiring, what do you say?
I think it's dope. I mean, I think it's sad that he's retiring, but it's dope that he's had such a great career, and he's brought so much joy to so many people, including myself. I love watching Manu play.
I'll say this. I've always been a Spurs hater. So it's almost like if Wile E. Coyote finally caught the Roadrunner, it's like now that they're really done, I almost don't know what to do myself. So
that's fair. That's fair. I've never been a Spurs hater. I've been a Spurs kind of guy. You know,
so you got the Twitter questions?
Yeah, I got some Twitter questions. So Jesse Helva at Jesse Helva says, which historic NBA team would you like to see play in today's NBA? I.e. 86 Celtics, Showtime Lakers, 97 Bulls, etc.
You got one?
Hey, of course. 82, 83 Sixers. Come on. What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know. Let's talk about it. So what about that team?
I mean, listen, to be honest, I would just love to be able to see that team play in real time. Because, like, if you ever go back and watch older games, like, the footage is so freaking grainy, man. It's impossible to watch. But Julius Erving, Bobby Jones, who was a defensive stalwart, you know, Moses Malone, Andrew Toney, Maurice Cheeks. I you hear so much about these guys, especially being, you know, raised around Philadelphia. I would just love to be able to see them play. And I think about this a lot. Like, great teams. Would they really stand up to the teams that we have now? Would they stand any chance with the pace and space teams we have now? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I would love to see it.
Yeah, I think like a team like that would get circles run around it. But why not?
Yeah, for sure.
I got a couple. I think Charles Barkley's Suns would be a lot of fun. They actually did. There were times when they played Barkley at center. And so they were one of the kind of – and they shot – I don't think they shot like a ton of threes, but they had shooters. They had Dan Majerle. Kevin Johnson shoot it. Barkley shot a lot of threes that year, like that first year when they went to the finals. They didn't really play defense, but that's fine because, you know, but I think they'd be a lot of fun to watch. Yeah. I think those old Doug Moe Nuggets teams would be fun. I'm not sure. Let me find one. One with what's that little – they had a little point guard, man. He was a little tiny dude, but he got shots up. Let's go back. I think 88. Let's try 88.
I don't know. I'm not an NBA historian, sadly. I mean, knowing how my brain works, I'm not a historian of anything. but, you know, I always think about the idea that it would be cool if you could actually take a team out of an era and put them in the current era and just see what happens.
So, the Doug Moe's Nuggets, they won 54 games in, to say, 88. They were first in the league. They scored 116 points a game. They got up and down the floor. It was Alex English, Fat Lever, Michael Adams is his name. Michael Adams is a little tiny dude, man. I think he's like 5'6", 5'7". And he was scoring 14 a game. But back then, think about this. This is back in the 80s when people weren't shooting threes. He was shooting 4.6 threes a game. He was shooting 4.6 threes a game.
Wow.
That's a lot for back then. Yeah. Michael Adams was like, he was ahead of his time. So he was averaging like 14 and 6. Alex English was still good, averaging 25 a game. So they got up and down the floor. He's the only one who shot threes in that team. They got up and down and they scored a lot. Fat Lever scored 19 a game. They played fast. They played furious. I don't think they played defense, but that'd be fun.
How do you think they would fare in today's game?
I think like the Nuggets, like almost like the Nuggets today, where they can score a lot. They just can't stop anybody. Yeah. So I'm looking at the roster. I mean, these guys like Blair Rasmussen and Danny Shays will get murdered. It doesn't matter. It'd be fun to see Alex English. And I think another guy I'd love to see, a guy in the modern game, would be, I don't know if you remember, you remember Bernard King. King, I think, he'd be great in the modern NBA. Big, plays power forward, maybe even play some center, could shoot, could score. So, those are my two teams, I think. And, of course, I got to say, just to stay on brand, I'd love to see any Michael Jordan team. Because I would love to see Mike in today's game.
Yeah. Yeah. I would as well. I still think he'd be a killer.
Yeah, and it's funny when you know, the funny part to me when you hear people say like, oh, well, because he didn't shoot threes. Well, guys, if he played in the modern era, he would conform to the modern era.
I was just going to say, I guarantee you he would figure out a way to shoot threes because he was doing it toward the end of his career anyway. He was starting to do it.
Yeah.
As he got older, his game, he stretched the floor more and more. He was not just the ultimate competitor. He was also a cerebral player, man. You can't be the consensus number one guy of all time and not be a super smart player. So I agree. He would be fun to watch in today's NBA. One another question?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Contrarian, necessitarian. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, God. Contrarian, necessitarian. Hey, no, say what's his at name? Give his Twitter name.
Yeah, hold on. I gotta.
Basket quat. What is it?
Something
like Basquat.
Yeah, sure. I can't see it because I took
a photo. Oh, come on, man. Give the man his props. Say his name.
Hold on. It's a dumb question. You said that we would answer it, so I'm going to give it to you so you can answer it.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I remember this. All right.
So the question was, just let me give it the question. The question was, when you tweeted out, shit, I lost the whole thing. James, don't make me do too many things. When you tweeted out that we were going to do a podcast, You said we're going to do a mailbag, not just any NBA Twitter mailbag. Throw us any question you have at Dunkmail. And he wrote back, what question would you like us to ask? And you wrote back, this question will be answered. So, James, what question would you like him to ask?
So, my man Bass, let me find the damn tweet. I want to say, either way, my question I want to ask, hey, James and Joe, why am I such an annoying jerk? And my answer to you. Nah, he's cool, man. I like him a lot. He's a lot of fun. So he's been a smart ass, obviously, and that's our. Asked a question.
It's all good.
And your answer is, hey, James and Joe, why am I such a dickhead? So there you go.
Yeah, all right, fair. I would like you to ask any question that wasn't that one. Like, I don't know. I have no idea, but yeah, it's fine.
Whatever. Not that one.
Not that horrible question.
Not for them.
What else we got? My friend David Fernandez, and I think you're a friend too, from James.
He's a Pistons guy.
I'm sorry, David. I'm so bad right now. I'm half asleep. Inside the Cylinder, from Inside the Cylinder, our Almighty Baller Network, and from formerly of Detroit Bad Boys. I'm not sure if he still writes for them. I think he still writes for Detroit Bad Boys. They covered the basketball tournament this summer.
Yeah. Will you come on?
Anyway, he asks, what area of Brooklyn counts as Bed-Stuy according to Joe Borelli? Not a city map? Not sure I understand the question, but when he was here.
So he's saying if you look at a map, it'll tell you what Bed-Stuy is. He said he wants to hear your definition of Bed-Stuy.
Well, do you want to know why he wants to know my definition of Bed-Stuy?
Absolutely not. I don't care. Just answer the guy's question.
It's not the area that his brother lives in, I'll tell you that. He was here over the summer and we hung out and he took me to his brother's house, which is in quote unquote Bed-Stuy, which is not in Bed-Stuy. It's in fucking Clinton Hill. It's maybe across the street. It's kind of like East Williamsburg. It's not Bed-Stuy. I'm like, come to my neighborhood and I will show you Bed-Stuy, my friend. Anyway, the neighborhoods have all changed. They're not really what they used to be, but for whatever reason, us New Yorkers are very territorial about our neighborhoods. We want to be, you know, I'm from Bed-Stuy. I live in Williamsburg. I'm in Bushwick. You know, it's stupid. But David, to answer your question, you're still wrong. Your brother doesn't live in Bed-Stuy. He's a nice guy. Anyway, moving on.
Do we have more questions?
Yeah. Gucci Matt, the Matt Reed asks, do you think Budenholzer at the helm, the Bucks, are a legitimate contender in the East? Also, how many wins will the Celtics get this year with Hayward and Kyrie back? So
that's a good question.
Do you think Budenholzer will make the Bucks a contender in the East?
I still think that the East, the top tier of Celtics, Toronto, and Philly, probably in that order. And that's no disrespect to Philly.
I think
Philly, I like Wilson Chandler. It's a nice piece. He's going to play. I just don't think – I think the other teams upgraded more, and they were all kind of – you know, they were all really good last year. But I think Boston obviously –
How dare you? Do you know that Philly just added
Anthony Brown.
Anthony Brown today.
I like him. He might play for you guys. Somehow he never worked as a Laker, but I watched some of his pre-draft stuff and his draft stuff. He can shoot. I thought he could really shoot it.
Shooter in the D League, I guess.
Yeah, so hopefully he sticks around, man. I like that kid. I like to see you guys get a chance.
6'7", 7 foot wingspan. I don't know if he can defend at all, but listen, if he can shoot like that, he shot 18.9 points, 4.8 rebounds, and 3.6 assists per game for the Iowa Wolves last year.
Absolutely. So I like him. I think he. Let's hope he sticks. I hope he sticks for his stake. He seems like he's a good kid. So.
But yes, you're right. The Sixers did not upgrade enough.
But still, I still think that, you know, I think Embiid is that good. I think Simmons is. I still know what to make of Simmons because he's great. I mean, he's legit. The numbers don't lie. The impact don't lie. He was a big plus. He's a great passer. Great defender, a really good defender so far, and you know he does so much. He's so versatile. The fact that he got to start shooting threes, man.
Yeah,
he has to. It puts a ceiling on how good you guys could be. And I know he will eventually.
I mean, give him time. Give him time. He was first year last year. You know, like.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, dude. Did he shoot one?
I know. You're part of the shoot a three coward group. I know.
No, I think it's funny. It is funny.
It's kind of funny. I'll admit it, but still.
Come on, dude. It's his first year. He took a whole year off, like honing his body and getting himself together. You know, not even a set shot, but all right, whatever. I think Embiid and Simmons are that good that they're still going to be among the top of the East. I like your coach, man. I think he's you know, it's funny because I remember there was people mad that he didn't get fired. I was like, the team is tanking. What do you want from him?
Yeah, I hated those people. Still hate those people.
Yeah, like what do you want?
What do you want? Then, what do you want from a guy who has no talent on his team? Yeah.
No one called you get that chance. I go, well, that's the franchise's fault, you know. So either way, my point is the upper tier in the East is still Boston, Toronto, and Philly, and I think that the Bucks. With Coach Bud, he has to really fully weaponize Giannis. He has to maximize and probably put Chris Middleton in more positions to make plays. Mm-hmm. And Malcolm Brogdon has to take a little step forward. Thon McCurr, as I heard it said before, mm-hmm. he has to actually be more consistent. Brooke Lopez has to defend a little bit. They're good. They're going to be good. I think Bud's going to make a difference, definitely. But they were still – what seed were they last year?
They were the seventh, I think. Seventh or
eighth. No, I think you're right.
Miami was the eighth seed, right? No, that's not right because Miami played Philly in the first round. Philly was the third seed, so that would have been the sixth. Who the hell was the eighth seed?
Well, no, because Boston was the second seed, and they played Milwaukee in the first round.
All right, So they were the seventh seed. Yeah.
Toronto finished one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Who did Toronto play? I don't remember. Oh, my God.
Boston was two. I think Toronto played – was it the Wizards?
Yeah, I think that's – God, I don't even remember.
Time, good.
Who knows? So, yeah, Milwaukee finished seventh.
So, either way, I know it was probably – no, it was probably a tight towards bottom. So, not that they were bad, but – Giannis should take another leap. Giannis not even his prime yet, dude. That's scary.
Yeah, no, you know, he's not even close. He's like, 22, 23?
No,
he's still so young, dude. I'm telling you, he's way younger than you think he is.
He's 25.
Is he really?
I'm looking right now, but yeah, Giannis has been elite. This is year six for him.
I'll say this. I do hope that Bud can get more out of Thon because I think Thon has a lot of potential. Man, he shows flashes that are just incredible. Ersan and Ilyasova being there is going to help their bench. I love Ersan.
I'm sorry. I think I'm wrong. I think he's 20. Is that right?
Yeah. He's still really young, man. He's not even close.
Holy shit. Yeah, he's 23.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still so young. He's going to be a beast. Chris Middleton, love him. Malcolm Brogdon, he's really solid. Brooke Lopez, you know, he's going to do Brooke Lopez things. I don't know if they're going to be a legit contender, but I could see them. I could actually see them finishing as high as third, to be honest with
they
you.
They got to start shooting more threes, and they got to get a more consistent Eric Bledsoe somehow.
Yeah.
The pieces are kind of there. I think Coach Bud has shown that he can make a team that's greater than some of his parts, what he did in Atlanta. Everybody has to buy in, and, you know.
You know what? Yeah, I take that back. They're not going to finish third. I could see them finishing as high as fourth, but go ahead.
I don't think there would be a contender. Giannis has to really take another leap and wrestle best player in the East from Kawhi for that to happen. And even so, I think.
Are you serious right now?
What's up?
Best player in the East is Kawhi?
If Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi.
Oh. That's right. Yeah, sorry. I mean, but Kawhi hasn't even played, man.
Again. I'm going for it as if the guy's healthy.
All right,
I get it. You want him to prove it. I can. If you want to say that, I'll say this. Until he proves it, you can say he's in purgatory. Kawhi's in purgatory. Yeah. And you thought I meant Kyrie.
You meant Kyrie, yeah, because I'm like, you're going Boston, full Boston on me, aren't you?
Coach Bud has the pieces to work with, and I think maybe they won't start off as strong. They'll finish, so maybe they don't finish high. So that's fine. That'll be good. That's a good question.
Yeah.
And then what was the other question? How many wins will the Celtics get this year with Hayward and Kyrie?
How many wins? With Kyrie and Hayward back.
You know they're over under?
I don't. I think it's like 56, something like that.
I'm gonna go over on that.
Really? Hold on, let me look. I'm gonna type it in while you're talking. Go ahead, talk.
It's funny because we're both doing the same thing.
This is great.
We're doing the exact same. So right now, I just saw something. To August 6th, it might have moved since then. They're over under with 57.5.
Yeah.
57.5. Oh boy!
I don't know, man. I don't think it's going to be as easy as people think.
How many did they win last year?
Well, if they finished second,
and I think they won
more than 52.
Man, this is quality NBA stuff we got going on here.
All right, I'll give my answer. How many wins will the Celtics get this year with Kyrie and Hayward back? I'll say 55. 55 wins.
61, book it.
Oh, wow. All right, cool. That's a lot of wins, man.
I mean, look, dude, they're going to beat the bad teams, which we know. They're not going to have the lows like they had last year. They won last year. They won 55 games last year.
All right.
They won 55 last year.
All right, so they have to win more than that, right? They
have. You can say what you want to say.
Well, Milwaukee's going to be better. We know that Indiana is going to be better. We know that the Sixers are probably likely going to be better. We know that Toronto is certainly going to be better.
I'll say this.
I think almost every team is going to be slightly improved in the – not every team, but a lot of teams in the East will be slightly improved.
That's fine. Boston also has
– that's true. They're going to be a lot improved.
Tatum coming back year two, which we know guys make a little leap. Brown coming back year three, which he should make another little leap.
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward, even if he's – let's say he's 80%, I still think he adds something so positive to the team that, you can't overlook that. And Kyrie only played 50 games last year, maybe 50, like 52 or something. So – if he comes back and they keep him healthy, Terry Rozier has another jolt of that confidence, a summer of work. Marcus Smart's going to be back. He only played like 50 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm really high on the team, man. And I think I told you this last year. People kind of try to poo-poo me again. Brad Stevens gets the most out of these guys. So, I'm really, Smart and Rozier off the bench. I say 61, man. And that's me being conservative. I'm really high on this team.
You and Matt Moore, man, you guys are in lockstep with the Celtics.
Yeah, what do you say?
I don't know. Just every tweet I see is like, well, not every tweet I see, but when I see him tweet about the Celtics, it's always, they're going to be good. But guess what? Stop.
I just don't, like, they won 55 games last year their $30 million man out for the whole season.
Yes.
You know,
Kyrie. Well, the thing is, too, even if Hayward comes back and he's not 100%, they still have, they still have Tatum. They still have you just said his name.
Brown.
I'm falling asleep. Brown. Oh, my God. James, let's wrap it up. We've gone longer than we wanted to. I'm still in summer sleepyhead mode.
Let's make sure we didn't have any more questions come in.
I just checked. I think we're good. Thank you all for sending your Twitter questions.
Hey, our guys at the Brickhouse Pod sent one. At Brickhouse Pod sent us a quick. And this is quick. What's the best basketball movie of all time?
White Men Can't Jump. You know why? Because it's the only one I've watched.
No, that's fair. And it's in the pantheon. It is a really good movie, man. It's fun. It has everything. It has love story. It has betrayal. It has all that shit. Yep. I think just for brevity's sake, I'm going to agree with you, even though I'm sure I'm missing something.
Solidarity. Gotta love it. Also, Woody Harrelson had hair, it's like.
Teen Wolf is pretty damn good.
Teen Wolf is good. Yeah. All right. So I've watched two. Teen Wolf is number two. White Man Can't Jump is number one.
And we'll just go with that because we have nothing else to say.
Cool. Thanks, Brick House Pod.
All right, man. That was a fun little pod.
It was fun. You know what? If you guys hate it, tweet it, James. If you love it, tweet at me. You can tweet me at Joe Borelli. You can tweet at James at Snotty Drippin'. And this is Dunk Tales Pod volume, I forget which one, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, somewhere around there.
This is like the lost episodes during the summer.
Yeah. And during
hey, guys,
during the after the summer, we're gonna try and do these. I'm gonna try and do them as regularly as I can. So I'm hoping weekly, but if it's bi-weekly, I'm sorry. But go on.
And we'll actually like have a plan and actually a rundown, and we'll be better than this fucking shit we just did to you guys. This sorry, guys. Anyway. All right, bro.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Peace.
Peace.